Welcome to the Hot Lava Podcast. Kevin A.C. Padres, beat writer for the Union Tribune. Ryan Finley, sports editor of the Union Tribune. Padres, 19 games to go, full 3 weeks. Padres, they had lost, what, 9 of 11. They've now won 2 in a row. We can go over that, the series in Colorado. They have a what I think is a big series coming up against the Reds. The Reds had lost 8 of 9, won their final 2 against the Mets coming in. Mets chasing what I think they're the top outside looking in team, but right there, maybe tied with the Giants. And so this is huge for the Reds. Padres holding on to the fifth seed. They're a game out of the NL West, or technically like game and a half behind the Dodgers. That's a lot, Ryan. Where would you like to start?
I'd like to start, you know, last time when we talked on Friday, we were justifiably concerned about what has gone on here. And I would say that that level of concern ratcheted up probably for me, to about an 8 after Friday night, right? They get blanked at Coors Field. Since then, 2 pretty good games. Starting pitching seems to have returned to earth a little bit in terms of, you know, they couldn't be much worse. Starting pitching improved. Kevin, where's your level of concern today? How much better do you feel after the Padres took 2 of 3 from the Rockies?
2 victories coupled with what happened with the other teams, right? Giants finally lost, Cubs lost, Dodgers had lost twice, so the Padres gained a game. The starting pitching being really, look, great. They scored 18 runs over the final 2 games. Great. I mean, like, certainly better than what was happening, but like, it's the starting pitching and the pitching in general held the Rockies to a run yesterday. All of that put together, the passing of 3 days. I don't know if I said that, but like the 2 wins, and now we're down to 19 games to go. Feel a lot better. Figured that I would. And then, you know, that said, like I said, starting pitching, great. And by that, I mean, super impressive what Nick Pivetta did Friday in the loss. But a place that has really been bad for him. But Randy Vasquez, fantastic. Expect to see Randy Vasquez quite a bit. You have Dylan Cease, who was able to put together, 5 innings yesterday. That's fantastic for Dylan Cease, and that can be playoff worthy. Now you're going to face better teams than the Rockies, but it won't be at Coors Field, so good job. Feel really good about that. That said, you're coming home, facing a hungry team. Now's the time to do it.
Yeah, and well, in the starting rotation, we'll get more good news here. You are reporting, Kevin, that Michael King will make Tuesday's start, be activated off the injured list. He went on the injured list back on May 24th with a nerve thing in his shoulder. Came back, made 1 start, then was placed back on the injured list with knee inflammation. To me, this is just a huge storyline going forward. I mentioned Friday, Kevin. To me, it's the story of the final month of the season is can you get Michael King back and healthy, and can he be good? Because if he can be who he was in April and May, he could be who he was last September and October. This is a team that can win the whole thing, I think.
If I'm with you, like there's a bunch of the stories, right? Like if Manny Machado's going, the offense is going, Dylan Cease is kind of going, Nick Pivetta is still good, Michael King being good, that's the story. If Michael King's good, Nick Pivetta's good, the offense is good, then Dylan Cease being good is the story. Like, but yes, like Michael King is one of those ingredients that you would think like they almost have to. I will never in baseball say something has to happen, or if this happens, that will happen, because that's just not the case. I mean, it's just not. I'm not even going to give you examples. There's a million of them, of things that didn't go the way you thought, but the result was different or the same than you thought if you had said this has to go that way. Sorry, baseball is a screwed up game. Your point of it just being exponentially more likely that the Padres have success in the postseason being dependent, that exponential chance of better success being dependent on Michael King is spot on.
Right. Do we know what limits, if any, he will have coming back? It's not like he's coming back from a shoulder or an elbow. I mean, this is knee inflammation. Will there be a pitch count? Any idea?
I would think in the 70 range, but I mean, if he's pulled after 60, cause he's had, you know, been out there for a 28 pitch inning or something. Mm-hmm. And you know, there it's a 2-run game or something, or it's a 10 run game or whatever. And they got a good 5 innings out of him or something. Then I could see that, but he's not going to go much higher than all that. And the, yeah, you know what? Tomorrow might be 4 innings, 3 runs. But like, how did that go? And what will the next start look like? And then the next start. Yes, the Padres are still battling technically for a playoff position, battling for the division crown. But this is about Michael King coming back and having 4 starts to get ready for the postseason. And yep. By the 5th start of a season, because Michael King's almost starting over, right? Mm-hmm. He just came out of spring training, basically, a very abbreviated, weird spring training. Mm-hmm. And so by the 5th start in the season, I mean, we are expecting 6 innings out of a guy. And right. If Michael King gives you 5 quality innings in the postseason, then okay. You know, mm-hmm. That's what this team was built for when they ratcheted up the bullpen, ramped up, built up, whatever I'm trying to say, at the trade deadline. That's what this team was built for. They'll certainly take 6 quality innings from him. But this is big for the fact that he does get 4. What you would think, that's what the Padres believe, is that, you know, get 4 starts before the postseason.
Right. One of the things I love about baseball, Kevin, is that these guys who are, let's say, bit characters in your story, sometimes become big characters in your story later in a season, right? Sometimes a guy who maybe you hadn't have heard of in April is part of October. To me, one of the great storylines lately has been Randy Vasquez sort of riding to the rescue here in the rotation, because this was a guy who was sent down. Padres traded for start. They traded away 2 starting pitchers. They got 1 back. Just after the trade deadline, I think you and I even said, like, you know, job well done, Randy Vasquez. Maybe we'll see you next year. And he has come back up and really stabilized some things. I don't know. I think it's worth noting, at least on here, that you know, he helped, especially this weekend in Denver when they needed good starting pitchers.
Yeah, I mean, it was a curious thing to some extent. Like, Randy Vasquez always felt like playing with fire to the Padres, right? Yes. Like, it was either going to be pretty awesome, right? Mm-hmm. Or you were going to win because you scored a lot of runs, and Randy kind of kept it to, like, 4 runs in 5 innings, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Or he was going to get rocked. And he didn't get rocked much this year, but it felt like he was on the precipice of getting rocked. So the Padres took some swings, J.P. Sears, Nestor Cortez, figuring one of them would work out. And You know what? Neither one of them has. That doesn't mean we won't see him again. Probably won't. Certainly won't if things go well. Yeah, I mean, Randy Vasquez was a huge part of last year when he had a 4-something ERA and almost a 5 and made, what, 21 starts, 20 starts. This year, much better, much bigger part of the team. And this has to feel really good for Randy Vasquez. And quite honestly, like, we look at it differently on the outside. Like, well, what were you even doing sending him down? Were they like, whatever we got to do to try to make this work. And when they sent him down, they were fully aware, like, maybe Randy Vasquez is going to be the guy who comes back and pitches for us in September. No one was saying J.P. Sears and Nestor Cortez were going to go out and put up 2s in the ERA. Like, I mean, but they just thought, like, hey, here's some veteran guys that we think we're going to give a ride. And it has not worked out. And Randy Vasquez was there, like you said, to save him.
Yeah. It's, you know, the internet has bestowed him with a clever but mean nickname, Strandy Vasquez, because of all the base runners he leaves out there. And you're right. Watching him pitch can be an adventure. But, man, it's hard to argue with the results. And it's hard to argue with what he did at Coors Field in a game where, if they lost Saturday, right? I mean, you lose game 1 of the series, you get blamed. If they lose Saturday, I think just the tone of the weekend changes, even if they win Sunday. Right. I mean, Saturday, and you hate to say must win in baseball because nothing's ever a must win. But that was, to me, such a big game, because then all of a sudden you've got, you know, Dylan Cease going on Sunday with a chance to win a series, even if it's against the Rockies. I thought Saturday was such a pivotal game in that series for the Padres.
Agreed. I mean, absolutely agreed. Like, yes. And obviously it did change to where now they're a game back in the standings with the Dodgers holding a tiebreaker. They on Saturday and Sunday, I think, gained a game on, no, they gained one game on the Cubs. And then the Mets, they gained two games on, they gained a game on Saturday and game on Sunday. Like, and that's right. the team behind them. Cubs are the team in front of them in the wild card. Like, it was huge for that. But yeah, I think psychologically it was gigantic. I just think it's funny. If they sweep the Reds, I think that's big for them for the same reason, psychologically. They could then split with the Rockies, go on the road, lose two or three to the Mets, whatever, take two or three from the White Sox. Like, and then we'll be going into the last week wondering, okay, well, where are they at and what are they doing, right? Like, it's not... It's just so funny the importance that we assign to everything. So I want to say that while saying I 100% like agree with you about both for them, for the fans, for the standings. I feel like Saturday was a huge game.
It's funny too, the way baseball is, sort of the order in which things happen, I think also affects what we think of it, right? Had the Padres won Friday, lost Saturday, and won Sunday, maybe we'd be feeling a little bit different. But when you lose the first game and then come back and win the next two, it just feels, for lack of a better word, like more of an accomplishment, even though it's not. But you know, I'm human. You know, I think, yeah, you know, looking at Randy Vasquez starting a Saturday game with a chance to lose a series to the Rockies, the fact that they won and then won the next day has me feeling a lot better about them than if maybe the Rockies win was shoehorned in between those two. Interesting. Mike Shildt received my letters, I think, Kevin, because Jake Cronenworth's playing some shortstop now. Defensively, it may not be the best option for them, but it's a way to get Ryan O'Hearn in the lineup. It's a way to keep Mason McCoy out of the lineup. What do we make of this recent development, and is this something that we could see more of here in the next couple of weeks?
Yeah, when they face a righty, okay, and maybe at a different ballpark, although I'm not saying that it wouldn't also happen, say, I think it's righties the final 2 days at Petco. Maybe that is something that Mike Shildt decided that, hey, we're going to give this a try because we want to get our guys in the lineup. But being at Coors Field had a certain effect on Mike Shildt and his decision-making with that lineup as well. And that, you know what, Gavin Sheets, we want to get him in there. Ryan O'Hearn, we want to get him in there. Let's have Jake in there too. He does some damage at Coors Field. Let's do that. And then also, I think you throw in there, if I'm to believe the reporting by Jeff Sanders, which I do, the ground ball or fly ball propensity from Dylan Cease, meaning that you're not going to test Jake as much as shortstop, though Jake played a fine game there, and Jake has played fine there. And there isn't, look, defense does win championships. Defense has helped the Padres get here. Defense will win you, and it could cost you bad defense in the playoffs. So I'm not saying that Mike Shildt's not correct, but there is like this thing too, like if you need more offense though, which you do, isn't it better to have a better offensive lineup? We're not talking about, you know, moving Ryan O'Hearn to shortstop. We're talking about Jake Cronenworth, who plays a serviceable shortstop. Right. We're also talking about it in temporary, though we should get maybe some clarity on Xander Bogaerts here in the next few days when he's going to come back. But yeah, I think that it was nice. I like to see it. I like to see a manager go, okay, yep, this is what we're going to do. And then it works. And then you see what he's going to do then. And I'm sure everyone will complain today because they weren't paying attention that, you know, they were facing a righty and now they're facing a lefty. So they don't feel the urgency to get O'Hearn and Sheets both in there today. They're facing a lefty and Nick Lodolo tonight.
Right. Defense matters. But if defense was the only thing that mattered, Jose Iglesias would be playing every day because he's a wizard. Yep. And yeah, so you're trying to find that mix. And you know, again, Mason McCoy, I didn't do a great job in his start, kicked a couple at shortstop, I think went 1-for-4. So it looked like they went on to Jake Cronenworth from there. The one thing we know about Jake Cronenworth, Kevin, is he is a Swiss Army knife of a baseball player, somebody who you can literally put anywhere and get a professional game from. May not be Ozzie Smith over there, but I think it's an improvement over what they've been doing.
he's not Ozzie Smith at second base either. And I don't think, I say this every once in a while, I don't think there's a bigger fan outside of the Cronenworth family of what Jake Cronenworth does for a baseball team than me. I'm very appreciative of it, is my point, of Jake as a ball player. But he's not, you know, not going to win a gold glove anywhere. I could argue at times he plays very, very well over there and is undervalued. But like, okay, what are you really losing? Yes, he's better at second base than Luis Arraez is. But Ryan O'Hearn's better at first base than Luis Arraez is. So like, what are you really losing? Now, I will say, playoffs, I'd be surprised to see Jake in there. Look, let's say that Xander couldn't come back or something.
Right.
I'd be surprised. I'd be surprised that they would be willing to sacrifice that, except for late in games that they trailed.
Right, right. And then who is it? I mean, to me, the question then becomes, all right, so is it Jose Iglesias playing shortstop in a playoff baseball game? Is that what we're talking about? That has to be it, right?
Well, that has to be it. I mean, you're just relying on the fact that maybe – Iglesias is going to put a ball in play when you need it to be to drive in a run, or he's going to get his one or two hits. You're going to, you know, it just would be difficult knowing Mike Schilt to think that they would do this lineup, you know, even against a righty in the playoffs. That would just be, maybe there'll be some matchup things like where, you know, Cronenworth just really kills someone, O'Hearn kills someone. Like, you got to get these guys in, but just straight up in a vacuum. It just doesn't sound like Mike Schilt. That yesterday wasn't some sort of signal, like, you know, this is what we're going to do. The reasons were there for it to happen.
Right. We just spent 5 minutes talking about this move, and it's almost certain to not happen again tonight because the Padres are facing a lefty in Nick Lodolo. Let's get into the pitching matchups here. 3-game series with the Reds. Reds are a game over 500 as they head in here fighting for their playoff lives. Against the Padres, compelling 3 pitching matchups, I think. Tonight you've got Lodolo, 8-7, 3.22 ERA. He has a 2.6 ERA and 3 career starts against the Padres. Allowed 1 run in 5 and a third earlier this season in Cincinnati. He's going up against Yu Darvish. What Yu Darvish does tonight, your guess is as good as mine. Is struggled to get through 4, even 5 innings. Has a 3.9 ERA and 11 career starts against the Reds through 5 shutout last year against Cincinnati. But man, I have no idea what to expect in this matchup tonight.
No, except that, look, like Lodolo, Abbott later in the series, these guys have, like, I've seen them pitch against them multiple times. And even if the numbers, I forget, what did you say it was? 5 1/3, 2 runs last time. It felt more dominant than that. I forget exactly what happened, but I know that when I looked back and saw that was the number I'm on, I swear he dominated him more than that. That was like that one where I think Iglesias had 2 RBIs in that series. Both of them were like grounders or something, ground outs. It was just they lost 2 of 3. I love those two guys. I love their pitching staff. And this will be a tough one for the Padres. And you're right. Why would I even add to what you said about Darvish? Your guess is as good as mine.
Sneaky good baseball player, Zach Littell, pitches Tuesday night. 9-8, 3.8 ERA. Actually, that ERA was significantly lower when he was with Tampa, got traded to the Reds earlier this season. He's going up against Michael King. We've talked about him already. Had 4-2 with a 2.8 ERA. Pretty good, but hasn't pitched in 4 months or pitched once in 4 months. The interesting, compelling matchup there, too.
You expect that he's going to quote-unquote struggle, or, you know, labor would probably be the better word. And then it just depends how are the Reds hitting and how are they seeing him. But like I said, the important thing is how does he come out of it and how does he build up in the 4 starts?
Yep. Andrew Abbott, Nick Pivetta on Wednesday night, the rare 5:40 p.m. First pitch for Padres Reds. This is a battle of aces. Andrew Abbott's 8-6 with a 2.8 ERA. He's been very good, but not lately. Has an 8.56 ERA over his last 3 starts. He's going up against Nick Pivetta, who's allowed 2 runs or fewer in his last 5 starts. Played or pitched well at Coors Field on Friday. Really, really interesting. Curious to see how that shakes out on Wednesday.
Yeah, Nick is something. I'll tell you what, man. He said, it's about an attitude. If I go into, because I'll tell you what, when I went up to talk to him on Wednesday, I was like, no chance you were pitching this game last time when we left Coors Field. I was like, they're going to manipulate this. Nick Pavetta's not, and he laughed. He's all, yeah, it's pretty bad. It's about my mindset, though. And he went on to talk about, it's all about his mindset. How does he look at Coors Field? How's he going to pitch? He needs to be better there. And I'm like, okay, cool, man. Like, he's a mentally tough guy. Sure, right, whatever. He got an 18 ERA. He was so bad there in his first three career starts that when he gave up six runs in four innings last time, his ERA went down. And he goes out there and he does what he did on Friday. That was, dude, that's impressive. Nick Pavetta continues to be super impressive.
Super impressive. And again, when the story is written of this season, I think we will talk about Nick Pavetta as being sort of the surprise of the year. I think he's the MVP of the pitching staff to this point. Not close, probably. I mean, he may get Cy Young Award votes.
He'll get down ballot votes. And I'll tell you this, like, we need to not forget it when we're talking about, okay, let's say they have some success, whatever you consider success, be it, you know, hey, they have to win the World Series or, you know, how far they get in the playoffs, NLCS, whatever. When you talk about this season and them making the playoffs, mm-hmm. and you're talking about the trade deadline and Laureano and all that, you better go back to that first day of spring training and the signing of Nick Pavetta.
Yep.
I mean, huge.
Huge for them. Absolutely huge. Absolutely huge. The Reds, Kevin, I want to talk about these guys just real quick. They're a weird team to me. They play in just an absolute bandbox, right? It's like after Denver and probably Phoenix. It is a bandbox, and yet they don't have anybody with more than 19 home runs. They have their best players, Ellie De La Cruz, leads them with 19 homers, 18 RBIs, 32 stolen bases. He is a superstar. But the guys around him, like, it's a weird team to me. Maybe I'm wrong.
While I'm talking, you have to look that up. 18 RBIs?
No, 80.
Oh, 80. Okay. I'm like, 80. Maybe we had a typo and it's 81. Okay, no. It was 80. Okay, I'm sorry. I misheard. I just wanted to make sure we got that right. Okay, yes. And they always give, even if the Padres go in and take, say, 2 or 3 in Cincinnati or whatever, it's always really tough there. Mm-hmm. The Padres, I'm riffing now off the top of my head. I'm remembering an awful lot of series in which the Padres handled them here. Even there's with their good pitching story. And all that, maybe Petco's the great equalizer. I don't know. But fortunately they don't have to face that ace Nick Martinez this time. They traded for the third baseman, Cabrian Hayes, who actually had some really good games for them and hit fairly well. But they didn't make a lot of moves at the deadline that seemed to be very disappointing to a lot of people. But that's just like who they are, kind of, right? They're the old Padres, right? Like this is what we got, and we're going to get this guy. He's, you know, and he's going to, we're going to catch lightning in a bottle or we're not, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, and we're going to keep the payroll here. And I happen to love that ballpark, by the way. That's neither here nor there to anything, but I happen to love it. Very plain, but I really enjoy it.
Well, and you adore the chili. So
I love Cincinnati and the people, despite that slop they call chili.
Cincinnati also calls itself the San Diego of the Midwest, but we talked about that the last time they played, which is pretty hilarious. I think an interesting note, just looking at this, and this is from Jeff Sanders. The Cincinnati Reds, despite playing in that ballpark, only have 3 players with an OPS higher than 725. So that's Gavin Lux, who is an outfielder now, TJ Friedl, and Ellie De La Cruz. That is fascinating to me, because this is not the Reds winning the way the Reds have always won, which is a bunch of guys hitting 35 home runs and getting just enough pitching. This is a pitcher's team. The 3 guys throwing this weekend are all really good.
And they got and honestly, I've kind of lost track. And especially when they lost their whatever it was, 7 in a row, 1-1, and lost a couple more. But their bullpen has also been pretty good. And yes, they've been winning with the pitching. And I think they're well run in terms of on the field. And I just think it's a dangerous big series. Despite the fact this team isn't in playoff position, I think the Reds are obviously fighting for that spot, and they have a lot of ways to beat you. And to me, the last few years when you go to play the Reds, it's, and if you're facing Lodolo and Abbott, you're at least if you're the Padres, and obviously Abbott was an all-star, you've got some challenges.
Emilio Pagan, by the way, is their closer. He has 26 saves. Former Padre. Hey, Kevin, real quick, I put you on the spot at the end of every episode. Today is no different. Be honest with me. Did you see or hear about what happened at the end of the Dodgers and Royals game? Or Dodgers and Orioles game a couple of nights ago? The no-hitter?
On Saturday, the four runs in the ninth broke up the no-hitter with a homer walk-off. Yes.
Based on that and some other things, are the Dodgers cursed, Kevin?
No chance. No chance. But valid question. Sure. Like, I'm sure they're feeling, or their fans are feeling it. I'm sure to a certain extent their team is feeling like, how are we losing these games? And the Padres are feeling that to a certain extent too. But like, you know, they're very up and down this year. That's for sure.
Yep. I would say the Padres' struggles would be a bigger story nationally if the Dodgers weren't doing it even better than the Padres were. You know, the Dodgers with a much better team on paper, a much higher payroll, seem to be losing in more spectacular fashion than the Padres are, which has made the last couple of weeks very interesting. I mean, the Padres are still only one game back.
The baseball season is, and I don't know what it is. Is this even more so this year? But because the Padres are one of the teams that are in the thick of sort of having a chance to run away. And every time they play good, then they start to play bad. But like, we were in Seattle, like all I was hearing was how the Mariners might be the hottest, best team in baseball right now. And then look what they did after taking 2 or 3 from the Padres. And that AL West is, and the AL wild card is a game of attrition. You could argue now the Cubs and the Mets haven't been as and the Padres haven't been as bad, but you could argue the National League. They've allowed, as hot as the Giants got, the Giants were out of it. There wasn't I saw quotes from Buster Posey talking about that. Like, they've allowed the Reds and the Giants to hang around to some extent, the Cardinals and the Diamondbacks. I mean, like, those teams probably don't have it to make that surge, but they're standings-wise, they're right there. Baseball is bizarre. When do you play teams? This one little cog can change. You know, this guy was doing hot. He's not anymore. That was big. It altered your lineup. Like, baseball is bizarre, yet we all try to map it out. And it's that only adds to then us thinking, like, well, what's going on? Well, it's crazy. Why are you trying to predict it?
Padres were the best team in baseball for the first 2+ weeks of the season. And over the last 2+ weeks, with a better roster, undeniably better roster, adding all-stars, they looked awful.
And you could argue the caliber of teams were about the same.
About the same.
It wasn't like they did that against bad teams and then lost to, you know, the Yankees, Dodgers, and Cubs. It was about the same. Yeah.
Right. Sport will drive you crazy. That's what we love about it. That's what we love about Padres Reds 3-game series starting tonight at Petco Park. That'll do it for this episode of the Hot Lava Podcast. For Kevin Acey, I'm Ryan Finley. We'll see you next time.